Welcome to Copper Country Today. We are heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. And our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and also by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. You can also listen to a podcast of our program. Just go to the Copper Country Today page at any one of our station websites, thewolf.com, kbear102.com, or wccy.com. Coming up in the second half of the program this morning, Sam Ali will be talking with Jennifer Billick. Jennifer has written a new book about the history of Keweenaw County. And my guest in the first segment is Don Simula. Don is the CEO of the Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center, which has recently expanded its services into the Copper Country. Don and I, we first met at the Attorney General's review of the Portage Health LifePoint merger, and at that point you spoke and you said that you were coming over here, and I was surprised, and I ran right over to find out what this was all about, and I promised that we'd get you on the program once the expansion into the Copper Country was well underway, and it is now. So welcome, Don. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, I know the Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center has been around for a while, but I'm sure that it's new to people here in the Copper Country. What is it?
Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center is a federally qualified health center. The federal government has a program within the Health Service Administration. There are many divisions within HRSA. It's the lead agency for the federal government for the management and delivery of healthcare services to vulnerable populations across our country, but they manage many things like SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Agency. The division that the Federally Qualified Health Center program operates under is the Bureau of Primary Health Care. Within HRSA's website, www.hrsa.gov, you'll find many links to community health centers across the country. You'll find links and information about National Health Service Corps, student loan repayment programs for medical professionals, along with a variety of other clinics and services that they provide across the country. We are one of many health centers across the country. There are, at last count, somewhere in a neighborhood of approximately 1,300 or 1,400 community health center organizations across the United States and Puerto Rico, with 4,000 to 5,000 locations, service locations.
That's a lot. I'm not familiar with any of this. I had no idea that this existed. That's a whole lot of federal layers you're dealing with there, too.
Well, there is, and you can imagine there's a significant amount of paperwork that goes with that.
So. Really? I'm stunned by this, Don.
You know, it's the community health center movement is something that really was born in the 1960s and the war on poverty from Lyndon Johnson. And the formality of a community health center program really took form in the 70s and early 80s and has been growing in popularity and with bipartisan support in Congress and the Senate since that time. There was more expansion of community health centers in the United States during the two Bush administrations than there has been in recent years until the passage of the Affordable Care Act in 2010.
Now, you are basically, you've been operating for some years in Marquette County.
We have. And so, you know, we're a relatively young organization from the perspective of the Bureau of Primary Health Care. There are a number of designations. Public Act 330 is the law that is on the books that dictates and governs the organization and management of community health centers in our country. It is a very comprehensive law that provides all the detail that we need to follow and operate in compliance with federal law. Early in 2008, maybe I'll back up just for a second. I've been in healthcare. I've been in healthcare in the Upper Peninsula since the early to mid 1980s, and I was an employee of Marquette General Health System for about 28 years until I moved over to Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center full time in the last year. My one of the responsibilities or scope, some of the scope of service that I had within my department was a network development, business development for the regional health center out of Marquette. I worked a lot with community hospitals across the region, physician practices, and I spent a good portion of my time building relationships with independent physician practices across the Upper Peninsula. There was a physician practice located in Gwinn, Michigan, that had been a longstanding primary care practice, independent primary care practice, that I spent a significant amount of my time providing some technical assistance and support, recruitment support for physicians, some of the information technology services that we were able to kind of work collaboratively with that independent practice on. That was the practice of Dr. Catherine Kroll. Dr. Kroll has been in practice in Gwinn independently for about 22 years back in 2009. And she had come to a point in her career, in her life, when she thought, she was would rather be employed by somebody and do something different with her practice than try to continue to really make payroll and cover overhead and work as hard as she was working with decreasing reimbursements. So the administrator at the hospital in Marquette at the time was Gary Mahler, and Mr. Mahler and I decided along with Dr. Kroll that we would try to work with her practice to develop and meet the standards for a federally qualified health center for the Gwinn and Sawyer locations that she currently operated. One of the first challenges that we had to overcome, or hurdles we had to overcome for Marquette County, one of the rules in Public Act 330 requires that a federally qualified health center to be approved must serve a medically underserved area, medically underserved population. It was a designation that Marquette County did not benefit from. And in order for us to move forward with the potential transition of Dr. Kroll's practice to a federally qualified health center model, we worked with the state to get a governor's exception for Marquette County to be designated as a medically underserved population. Once we overcame that initial challenge, we wrote for and received what are called federal planning grants. And these planning grants are available. They're generally about $80,000 over the course of a year to help organizations to help offset and underwrite some of the project costs for meaningful services. In this case, our proposal was that we needed a little bit of assistance to develop the infrastructure and the corporation to consider whether or not transitioning this private practice over to a federally qualified health center model was feasible. And so we wrote for and received that $80,000 planning grant in 2009 and set about the process of making the conversion to an FQHC.
So basically you took an existing private practice, you converted it over into this federally accredited program. How did that change then the type of people that could come and take advantage of the services offered by the practice?
Well, one of the advantages of a federally qualified health center, we have a contract with the federal government to ensure that everybody in our particular communities, our service area, have access to primary health care at an affordable cost. So we accept all patients regardless of their ability to pay. We have a what we call in the business a payer mix, you know, and it's the blend of patients that we have within our practices that, you know, what percentage of those folks have commercial insurance or employer-based insurance, Medicare, Medicaid. Some of them are self-pay patients, uninsured patients. And
we, so you are not exclusively for low-income
No. We
patients?
We serve everybody, and we have a very diverse patient population. We, like most organizations that provide healthcare services in Upper Michigan and throughout the country, have about a 40% of our population is Medicare, our Medicare beneficiaries. Another 30% have Blue Cross Blue Shield or other commercial insurance. Maybe 20 to 25% of our patient population has Medicaid or are, you know, on what we call a sliding fee program. Yeah. So there are many people. The federal government puts out what are called federal poverty guidelines, and they're published every year, generally in January or February. We base our services and our sliding fee for folks that meet those federal poverty guidelines based on family size and income. And we have a discounted service that we provide to those folks on behalf of our service, of our organization.
Don Simula is my guest. He's the CEO of the Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center, which has been operating in Marquette County for a few years and now has expanded into the Copper Country. Why did you decide to open up here?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. When we began our project in 2009, we looked at all of the counties across Upper Michigan that we thought would be suitable locations for an FQHC. The federal government and the state of Michigan, you know, keep track of the number of individuals in each particular community that would qualify or benefit from access to a federally qualified health center. There are demographic tables and statistics that on health disparities that everybody monitors and watches based on census, you know, current census information. Houghton County was one of those that was identified by the Michigan Primary Care Association as well as the federal government through HRSA and the Bureau of Primary Health Care as a community that in our general area, Houghton, Keweenaw, Ontonagon County, that would benefit from having a federally qualified health center in its community.
Now, what you said before was that one of the requirements was that a community, an area, be medically underserved. We have two hospitals. How do we qualify as being underserved?
Well, and that's an interesting, you know, I mean, that's an interesting statistic, and I'm not going to lead you to believe that I know how they manage those calculations. But
there's
know,
a limit to your knowledge.
There's a limit to my knowledge on this stuff. But basically, you know, they have an algorithm that they use based on, you know, the rural nature of any given or particular community, the number of primary care providers that are available to the community that will accept Medicaid patients, and the number of primary care physicians that are per, you know, X number of, I think it's per 1,000 individuals in a community, how many primary care providers might be available to see patients. And so given our geographic area, the rural nature of our community, the algorithm that they use to determine the status of any particular community, Houghton County has had a HPSA, or Health Professional Shortage Area, designation for a number of years.
Okay, because that I have heard from our hospital officials that it is sometimes a challenge getting recruiting doctors and health professionals to this area.
Absolutely.
Even though once they all get here, they all love us.
But they do, and the ones that do come here, for the most part, are here because they do love it, and you know, they're outdoor enthusiasts, and this is the kind of community that they want to live in.
But there has been a challenge, and we know that it's an ongoing challenge, and was one of the reasons cited, I know, in the merger of Portage Health, and I'm sure it was also a factor in the merger and the sellout of Marquette General, that affiliating with a larger organization would enable them to try to bring more healthcare professionals into the area. So I looked at your setup. You have, as you mentioned, over in the Gwin area, two clinics over there?
Or? We have two locations in Marquette County. Those were our original sites, and those were designated as something called FQHC, or Federally Qualified Health Center Lookalike Clinics. We were, and it's the Bureau of Primary Health Care would designate that that status as an incubator program. We are required to meet all of the standards and all of the requirements of a fully funded 330, a Public Act 330 grant-funded organization without the benefit of base grant funding. And, so we were required to provide services to all patients in our community, and in particular those patients that needed health care that couldn't afford it on a sliding fee but didn't receive any support from the federal government to do that. As we looked at Houghton County to expand here, one of the reasons, getting back to your question about why did we look at Houghton County, I was born and raised in Keweenaw. I've lived here, even though I've worked in Marquette for 25 or 28 years. I've lived here in Houghton, this is my home. These are my friends and neighbors. I play hockey three times a week at the Houghton County Arena and at D Stadium, and the people that I hang with, that I live with, I care about, and I know that there are a lot of people in our community that oftentimes choose not to go to see a physician because of cost, and and I want to remove that barrier. I mean, it's important. It was a professional dream of mine to be able to do this. I've worked on grant funding for Houghton County over the last 5 years. I mean, I've dedicated hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours to doing the, meeting all the federal guidelines and setting up the organization to make this happen, and filing the grant proposals, and having two or three of them rejected in the process, and retooled them and sent them in again because I think it's that important for our community. So, that's one of the reasons we looked at it from a purely, strategic perspective. The federal government periodically releases requests for proposals for what are called new access points across the country in a community health center network. They don't happen very often. There was one in 2010, and I submitted an application for Houghton County and Marquette County and was rejected. There was another one that happened in 2012, we submitted another application. Each time they do this, they come up with a new scoring algorithm that they use for each particular county, and based on the population of people in the country that they want to reach or provide access to healthcare to. And so, if you're going to be thoughtful about this, what we did was we took the scoring matrix that they were going to use for that particular RFP, and we scored each county in Upper Michigan and determined which county would be most likely to be funded.
Your best chance.
Our best chance at getting funded. And thankfully, Houghton County stood out again, and it kind of met my personal goal, but it also fit very nicely into the scoring matrix that the federal government had put out for that RFP, and we submitted our application to get funded. So we submitted that application in May of 2012, and it takes about 4 or 5 months for those folks to review and score all the applications. These are very competitive. There were 700 applications nationally for what turned out to be 31 new access points across the country.
Wow.
We were one of those 31 new access points that were funded during that cycle. So, I guess retooling and redoing your work sometimes pays off. We had an exceptional application and proposal.
But what you came up with here looks different than it does in Marquette. Marquette, you have basically standalone locations. Here, you've affiliated in some way, shape, or form with Portage Health. Why?
Well, you know, there are a number of reasons for our project. I mean, our standalone clinics in Marquette happen to be, you know, in 30 miles from the city of Marquette. Our partnership with the hospital in Marquette is no less important than the partnership that we have in Houghton County with Portage Health. In our while we were doing our early due diligence on the potential for a federally qualified health center in Houghton County, we worked directly back in 2010 and 2009 with Jim Bogan over at Portage Health and a number of the board members and administrative team to – they were partners in our grant proposal back in 2010.
Okay, so this just kind of followed logically then.
That we would continue to do that.
We're getting close to the end of things here, and I want to make sure that I talk with you at least a little bit about how someone gets involved with the Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center. Let's say that I don't have a primary care physician. Let's say that maybe I have that problem affording care. How do I get in touch with you, and how do I get into your system?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about our clinic sites. So one of the things that we've done is that we've worked out a partnership with Portage Health. We have assumed operational control or operational management of all of their primary care clinics. So the Houghton University Center is now the Houghton Family Health Center, which is an Upper Great Lakes clinic. The Lake Linden, Portage Lake Linden Clinic is now Lake Linden Family Health Center. The Hancock Family Practice over at the Portage main campus is an Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center clinic. Pediatrics services as well as OB are Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center. We're also set to open the Ontonagon Community Health Center under Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center this Friday. We will be assuming management control of a clinic in Iron River that will be known as the Ice Lake Family Health Center. That was a Marquette General-owned clinic. So patients that are accustomed to phoning the Portage outpatient departments for primary care visits, they just simply need to call those individual clinics, and we'll schedule them for an appointment with any one of the 33 providers that we have in our system. You know, the sliding fee program works if you enroll in Lake Linden. It works the same in Hancock as it does in Calumet, as it does in Gwynn, or it does in Ontonagon.
Is this retroactive? If I already have a physician at one of those locations, then can I go in and say, hey, listen, I don't make a lot of money. Can I get the sliding scale?
Absolutely. And so we have financial assistance counselors in each of those locations, and those folks are there to work with each individual patient on their particular needs. They are trained to provide that information. We have a website. It's www.uglhealth.org, and you'll find information about our clinics and our locations, and an application for the sliding fee program can be downloaded from that site.
These are basically existing practices that you have taken over. Do these practices have a lot of room for growth? Are they accepting new patients?
We accept new patients all the time, and we're happy to see anybody that comes to our clinic. We have capacity, you know, we're kind of redesigning how we template and schedule our patients. So we have more than enough room for folks.
And you are basically providing primary care services. So that then includes the referral to appropriate specialists and things of that nature that I would expect from any regular physician?
Exactly. Nothing, you know, really the nothing changed for those existing patients in the doctor-patient relationship. The referral relationships are consistent. One of the unique things about our clinics here is that we have an integrated behavioral health component to our service. We are in the process of staffing licensed clinical social workers as extenders within our primary care team. in our Marquette clinic. We have a Calumet native who is a licensed master social worker, was a director of behavioral health services for the family practice residency in Marquette, who leads our project. We recently hired a new graduate, MSW, who's now working in our Houghton practice. So those folks are there to assist with some of the health coaching needs of individual patients with chronic disease states and some personal issues. So, you know, we are the country's moving towards an integrated model, and, you know, we're right on top of that and putting that all in place.
Once again, the website is uglhealth.org. If you'd like to know more about it or just get in touch with any of the Portage Health clinics in the area, and you can get involved in this system, and maybe we can help get some folks some care who haven't been able to get it up until now. Don, thank you very much. Got to wrap things up. Stay tuned for the second half of Copper Country Today coming up in just a moment.